Gentlemen, the road to discipleship is not meant to be walked alone. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. I'm Brian Patrick, and we're continuing our series on becoming disciples, called to communion, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on Crossing the Goal this week. It's called Becoming Disciples, Called to Communion. And we've got our Crossing the Goal team in place to serve you again. Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries. From Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And the former All-Pro wide receiver and coach for the NFL, Danny Abramowitz, who's our coach here on Crossing the Goal. And Peter, this is not something that we can do by ourselves, this discipleship deal.
Yeah, it is. And we talked, the first two shows were on conversion. Remember the first show was on making that initial decision to respond to Jesus' invitation to come follow him. Then we had one on the Holy Spirit, essentially, and that Jesus empowers us to be able to live that new way of life. Well, when the Holy Spirit is given to us and the heart falls in love with Christ, that love for Christ, the Spirit moves us to want to share it with other people. That's the spontaneous movement of the grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what we're going to be talking about. The Holy Spirit wants us to gather with other people that are in love with Jesus Christ and learn how to live together in his mission.
When we persevere and walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, you know, things change. And people notice it. And we notice that, hey, something's happened to Danny. He's a new man, you know. And I think that that's what we want to show guys on this program, that you can become a new man. I don't care what you did before. You can change if you allow the Lord to work in your life.
Yeah. And the reason this happens is there's a deep theological reality that happens when we enter into the new covenant, a covenant that forms a family. How does Jesus Christ save us? He's not just our Savior or our Lord. He becomes our eldest brother.
Right.
He gives us his Father as our Father. This is huge revelation. But it's not just his Father as our Father. If his Father's our Father, then his mother is our mother. And his brothers and sisters are our brothers and sisters. Right. The reality of our baptism unites us to one another. This is a very, very important fact for us to recognize. And it's not just faith in Christ. Faith in Christ brings us into the church.
And then you know something, Curtis? Then we want to become disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, who wants to be on the outside looking in?
Right.
But you can be in the family of Jesus.
Right.
We've got a game plan with Peter and Curtis on Becoming Disciples, Called to Communion, next here on Crossing the Goal.
Back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck.
Hey, that's a good-looking shirt you got there. We're modeling our Crossing the Goal shirts today. That's nice stuff. This is a new look here.
Thanks, Peter. I really like that.
And you actually look pretty good at it. It helps.
Thank you.
It helps.
You too. Okay, now back to business.
Yeah, right.
All right. Our theme is discipleship. We're building on what it means to be a follower of Christ. We started our series by looking at the importance of accepting Christ, turning to him and allowing him to enter into our lives, and then yielding to the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit's in our life, what does that do for us?
Well, the starting point is the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What gets birthed in us is an affection for God. We start to love God and be drawn to God. And you see it perfected in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says literally, the Spirit of God that's given to us cries out and speaks to our spirit, moving us to cry out to God as Father. The Spirit convinces us that we're not alone in the world, that we're not aliens, that we're not rejected, but we are sons and daughters of the living God. So right from within us, the Spirit's beginning to help us understand and to believe with absolute conviction that we're children of God. So the Spirit's revealing that truth and moving us into God's community, which is the church, which is the visible body, Christ's visible body on the earth that he established as a communion, as a family of people who are united to Christ in heaven and those who've gone on before us in heaven in one communion, one family in the Lord.
This is such a powerful reality. This is, in fact, what led to my second conversion, if you will. I came to that conversion in Christ, and then years later, by the grace of God, came to see conversion in Christ meant that you should enter the church to be one with his followers. Jesus actually prayed that they may be one, Father, as you and I are one. That's an intense unity. And to recognize that one same step of coming closer to Christ draws us together. Jesus' solution to our sin problem is to do what we could never do on our own, to restore us to right relationship with God the Father, and at the same moment opens up the doorway for a relationship with one another. So the church is the logical consequence of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, very good. And then what you see in Acts 2, we talked about Acts 2 last week, where on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached that repentance and turning and opening yourself to the Holy Spirit. The very next paragraph, what ends up happening, what does the Spirit do as they begin to walk by the Spirit, is they devote themselves to the apostles' instruction, to the communal life together, to the breaking of bread, Eucharist, and the prayers. This became the form in which the Spirit led the community together to express their life as Christians, and we've built on that since that time.
The four pillars you just mentioned, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the Eucharist, and prayer, are in fact the structure of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's been the structure that we've taught the faith ever since the apostles and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we have to recognize this fundamental step, that it's not just some simple relationship, that covenants are rich, and they're amazing. We step into an entirely different world. Instead of being isolated and alienated from God and one another, we're in radical relationship with God and with one another.
Yeah, and it's not arbitrary. It's not something we've made up. It's something that the Lord has led us into. And the place it gets most perfectly expressed is in literally at the Eucharist, at communion. What's happening? Every Sunday, we're supposed to set aside the Lord's Day, and we come together as a broken body of sinful, weak people who are being drawn back to the thing that makes us a family, that establishes us together. What's that? It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ made visible on the altar at the Eucharist. And what do? We acknowledge it. We say amen. We bow our knee.
No, and in fact, doctors say this, it might seem a little bit trivial, but in reality, as Christians, we truly believe that we are what we eat. By consuming our Lord, we become one with Him, and we're ready to be united with one another. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Great game plan. Coach, I have shirts like that too, but it just didn't work with the tie. Besides, it wouldn't look nearly as good on me as it does on you guys.
Yeah, but you got to have the right heads on them too. Now, look at those heads. I've seen better heads on cabbages.
Well, you guys are all dressed up for the red zone, and we're headed there next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the red zone now, crossing the goal, and we're talking about becoming disciples called to communion. We're not talking specifically about the Eucharist. We're talking more about community of brothers, but really, as Catholic Christians, it focuses right on our church life, our going to Mass, receiving communion.
Exactly. As these guys were going through the game plan, I sort of was thinking about my own life and reflecting back a little bit, preparing for these shows, and I started thinking, what was my life prior to the change or conversion experience in my life? I was just getting by with the bare minimum. I don't know about you guys. In fact, you know, I was really conning God. Who am I? I was conning, thinking I was getting something over on Him. And then once my life changed, as you mentioned, over a period of time, it's not a zoop. Over a period of time, my life now, overall, I'm consumed with the church. I'm consumed with, before I never got involved with the community of church. I might went to Mass. When it was over, I was gone.
Yeah.
Now I'm involved with prayer groups. I'm involved with prayer. I'm involved with the Eucharist. I'm involved with confession. I'm involved with the rosary. I'm involved with as many things as possible. Mm-hmm. I want to be. It's not like, do I got to go to that? You know, before I'd say, do you mean I have to do it over there figuring out I got to fast or, oh, I have to do that?
Yeah,
I don't even, that thing's gone.
Right,
this
right.
is what I want to do. I know it's right.
Yeah, because what you're saying essentially is that the Spirit was awakening something in you, giving you an affection and a love and a capacity to understand the importance of what was happening there. For me, when I started experiencing the Lord more deeply in my life, gave my life to Him, gathered around with other people, I realized, you know, Mass, first of all, I don't approach Mass the right way. Like, I didn't go planning to give something. The Spirit wanted me to go to worship the Lord, to really give the Lord what is His due. And my heart was more full of worship and joy because I was living more in the Spirit, and I wanted to give thanks to God. But at the same time, what I knew was I needed it. I really needed it. It was not an option. It wasn't something that I could just, you know, look at the way I used to look at it. This is what, to the Lord, this pleases Him. It's important. It's something we really need to do.
You know, I think the church wanted us to make the jump, Danny, that you discussed, a moving from obligation to opportunity. Right. But what happened was we removed the sense of obligation, and guess what? The men just stopped going to church.
Right. Yeah.
And we've had all these guys are MIA. They're not there because they thought, oh, well, maybe the obligation's gone. Guys, the obligation's still there.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there's an attitude that you can get beyond where you no longer feel the burden of the obligation. All of a sudden, you recognize, I have an opportunity to be united with Christ in the Mass that I can't find anyplace else. And from that, all of my strength flows.
Yeah.
And to be able to have that sense. But I think a lot of guys, because the church's language appeared to get a little softer after the council,
yeah.
even though the teaching didn't change, and we have to remind guys, actually the teachings are right there. You actually have to get to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah.
But let's change it and say, how could you drain the maximum benefit out of it for you and your family?
Yeah.
If we had men doing that, we'd have a different church.
You know, another thing, following up to what you were saying, I was thinking, what made me want to do what I do now? What makes me go to daily Mass? What is because previous shows that we talked about here. One, I got to know Jesus Christ personally. That's the first thing. You said that until that happens, guys, if that doesn't happen out here, you can forget it. You have to know who he is personally. Secondly, I studied through scriptures over a period of time the ways of Jesus Christ. What does he teach? And I said, this is what I want. Not what the world out here says. That, I mean, I do things in the world. I like sporting events, all these other, but I follow what Jesus Christ tells me and the church.
Yeah.
So with that, I say, this is feeding me. This is make me feel good, joy in my heart that I want to do. And plus, what happens then is, then I want to help the community. I want to help others, starting with my family first.
Yeah.
Then you want to give it away. You want to be a disciple for Jesus Christ.
That's really true. I was thinking of Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says, you know, he died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him. And so you start asking that question, Lord, what does it mean for me to live for you? What do you want me to do? Well, you know what I want you to do, Peter or Danny? I want you to keep holy the Lord's Day. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go there, and I want you to do it with your brothers and sisters. They're your, well, Lord, they're kind of boring, or I don't like the priest, or wait, time out. These are my children. They're your brothers and sisters. I want you to go there, and I want you to stand with them, and I want you to love them. I want you to serve them, and I want you to identify with them. You know, a lot of times you say, you go into church, you don't talk to a soul. You know, remember it used to be? Sit in the back, you don't talk to anybody, and you're out the door as fast as you can. And half the time you're sitting there thinking, God, these people are kind of weird, and this is kind of boring.
Right.
This is kind of boring.
Like you
want to hang
out
with people who are happening.
Yeah.
I want to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you miss it all, and you're full of your pride, and you're full of yourself, instead of the Lord saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You come together and they're just like you, buddy. Mm-hmm. You might think you're different than the herd, but you're right in the middle of it, just like everyone else. And look now at what I'm doing. I'm drawing you to me, and I'm forming you, and I'm feeding you, and I'm fulfilling my promise to you that I would feed you, that I would be with you always, and I'm strengthening you and reminding you who you are. Don't absent yourself from the assembly. That's why the church is so strict about it. Yeah. I mean, clear about it.
This is our eternal family we're talking about here. I got to speak about stewardship at my parish recently, and I asked the parishioners to look around at each other. I said, are these the people that you want to spend eternity with? And you got a lot of chuckles and what? And, but isn't that what it's about? I mean, we are God's family. And if we're united in our journey here on earth, in our community, we're going to be spending eternity together. Yeah. And I looked around and I said, you're definitely the people I want to spend.
And Curtis made a really important point earlier in the game plan where he said, you know, that God desires us to be one. He wants us to be one. He wants us to be, and where he wants us to be one is coming together. We have to admit, we come to Mass, you know, I don't like a lot of these people, or I don't really care to know a lot of these people, you know what I mean, or I'm indifferent to them. And he's saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to teach you how to love these people. I'm going to teach you how to be my body in the world and making a difference together, not just you, but together.
And here's the great thing about that, because it's not just the folks you happen to be in the parish with, it's also all of the greatest men and women who have ever lived on earth. Our gathering point with St. Augustine and St. Jerome, St. Thomas Aquinas, pick your favorite saint, is the Eucharist.
Yeah.
That's where we gather together. And we have to be honest, when we first started showing up, they were probably looking at us going, I don't know about those
guys.
Yeah,
that's right.
And yet they've welcomed us to the table, and now it's our job to live up to that standard.
Yeah.
To sit back and say, we are made of the same stuff those great men and women were. Let's be great women and men in our time, right here, right now.
Yeah.
The power for that is in the Eucharist. That's the communion we need.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a great point.
Saints.
That's a great point. If our heart is right where your heart is, I tell you, parishes will light up. If men come with that heart, look out. I don't care what the world brings.
And a lot of guys out there say, well, I'm not worthy. Don't worry about it. None of us are worthy.
Yes,
but you can become holy men of God, disciples. Yeah. If you allow Jesus to work in your life. And a lot of guys, how about this one you hear? I don't get anything out of Mass.
Yeah.
Well, how much do you put in it? When you go to Mass, do you do the readings before you even go there? Right. Or you just walk in without any knowledge of what's going on, and the PA system goes bad, whatever happens, I mean, what are you gonna get out of it? You know, you gotta put something into it.
Yeah.
And you will, if you put an effort into it, it's just like your work. If you gotta put something in. If you spend 1 hour a week on your job, how good are you gonna be?
How much would you get out of a football game if you hadn't done any practice or anything?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Very enjoyable. Yeah.
We go to Mass with no practice, no prayer time. We spend no prayer time, never in the scriptures, none of this stuff, and we don't get anything out of it. Ask a football player that he's not gonna be on the team. Right. If he practices 1 hour a week, he's going to be on the bench.
I mean, that's where all of our men are right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously on the bench.
Danny, you're talking football players. How about the fans? I mean, you think about guys, you know, they're tailgating on Tuesday for a game that's coming on Saturday. They're all geeked up for it. They're totally focused. You'll talk to any guy about sports. You know, you strike up a conversation. You talk with passion about the team that you believe in and all that stuff. When we go to church, a lot of times we don't say a word to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, you go in, you kind of nod at the sign or the sign-up piece, you shake your hand, but you never go out of your way to actually meet somebody. I mean, this is part of what we have to do. We got to get skin in the game and invest our heart and say, who is that guy next to me? I want to talk to him after Mass. Just introduce myself. Who are you? Go to donuts and coffee. Build relationships. Learn how to speak about Jesus to one another. So many Catholics feel totally isolated in their faith together.
You got to ask yourself, what am I rushing to or from that I have to get into Mass at the last minute and leave the first opportunity?
Yeah.
What's so important that's pulling me on either side of Mass? Because that's a scary thing, that it's that much more important. Oh, the game is on, or I got a picnic or whatever. Okay, you can be a little late to the picnic. You can record the game and come a little later, whatever it is. Take time. That's where our family is really trying to just take some time and make this a special moment.
Yes.
There's other things we're going to do. We're going to have meals together, stuff like that. But the Mass time, it's okay to take a little time, have a donut with the parishioners, meet some new people.
Right.
And what about, you know, you got to ask yourself is, what did the Lord say? He wants each and every one of us to be with Him for eternity.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want, first of all, ourselves to go to eternal salvation with Him? And then once we get that feeling and that comes, that enlightenment in your mind says, that's what the Lord wants. Why wouldn't we want our brothers and sisters to be with, starting with our family first?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't we want the people in church? Why wouldn't people that we meet? I know now how we think. This show, the reason this show is crossing the goal to what? To eternal salvation. Our whole purpose here, guys, is the salvation of souls.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about. If it wasn't that, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Don't you guys feel the same way?
Is a preview of heaven. Right here on earth. This is a celebration of the Eucharist, is a taste of heaven. We sing with the choirs of angels, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. That should be the top of our list for the week.
Even for our day.
Yeah,
you know,
much less
on a daily. This show goes on every day.
Yeah.
And to make an engagement, I found for myself, once I committed to going to weekday Mass, I enjoyed Sunday Mass even more.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's a great, maybe a practical training ground. Could you take one day a week if you're not going to weekday Mass and just go then? It's more quiet, you can get a little more focused, it's shorter, and then it prepares you to open up and say, wow, there's some things going on at Sunday Mass I wasn't even aware of, even though I went for years.
Yeah, especially with 8 children, I'm sure that weekday Mass is a little more quiet.
You know, another thing too, guys, when you can you imagine, you know, it's the liturgy of the Word and liturgy of the Eucharist. So you get so much of the scriptures in the daily Mass also.
All right, we're going to go into the end zone next on our episode called Called to Communion here on the series Becoming Disciples on Crossing the Goal. We hope you'll stay with us. We're in the end zone on Crossing the Goal, Becoming Disciples, Called to Communion. And just before we get to the last word on that topic, let's go to our email bag this week. Gentlemen, we have an email from Andrew who says, the Catholic Church has a community of divorced families approaching 50%. Why are so many Catholics not taking their vows seriously?
Yeah, it's a sad and it's a sobering and it's really kind of a shameful statistic when you think about it. But the reason we're doing this series answers that question. We're talking about becoming disciples. and being able to have in your life functioning Christ on the throne, a desire to please Him, the role of the Spirit in your life, brothers and sisters around you, because every couple goes through hard times, but a lot of people go through it on their own energy, they don't have the resources and the support, they can't stand, and they end up splitting up.
The stats are alarming. They point to a deeper reality. The fact of the matter is many Catholics are living a life that is much more informed by the culture than by the church. It's amazing to see how those stats shift when we look at how Catholics who are practicing their faith, that are praying on a daily basis, that go to Mass more than once a week, that are living a faithful life because Christ in their life, all of a sudden those stats swing in totally another direction, and marriages last a lifetime.
It's
the Catholic Church works, and the Catholic faith works if we apply it to our lives.
Yep.
All right, Pete writes, Crossing the Goal rocks. Love the show. How can I get more people to watch it?
First of all, tell people about them. You know, word of mouth is probably the best way. And then, you know, we have a website. Go to www.crossthegoal.com. Also, we have DVDs and questions that go along with them that are great for individual or groups of men getting together. So these are some of the ways you can...
You know, another way, Danny, is my father's actually in a men's group at Our Lady of the Assumption Catholic Church in Ventura, California, and they're actually walking through some of our videos in a large group. And I know there's lots of groups around the country and even around the world who are now using the videos to spark conversations about what it means to be a committed Catholic.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can even get the Crossing the Goal team in person. We do conferences all over the country. Yeah. We'll be in Baltimore, Detroit, Dallas, and even
Vancouver,
Canada this year. Yeah. So you could book us for a conference in your diocese. You can check out Crossing the Goal for information. And now the last word on becoming disciples, called to communion. Peter?
I think just very simply said, if you haven't been going to church on a weekly basis, make a decision. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back to Mass. And I'm going to go back to Mass with two attitudes. I'm going to go back there ready to pray every single word that the Lord gives us in the Eucharist to pray. And I'm going to go there looking to love my brothers and sisters.
I think as Catholic Christians, we need to realize that we need to imitate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left heaven to come to earth to bring us together. We should have that same attitude of desiring to bring men and women together by being part of the local parish community.
Men, do you really want to change and become disciples of Jesus Christ? Do you really want to? Here's what I want you to do. Ask God this week, ask Jesus Christ to change your ways. And guess what? He will.
He will. Thanks, Coach Curtis, Peter. And of course, next week on Crossing the Goal, we'll be looking at the next step. In addition to communion, sometimes you just need a close band of brothers. So, band of brothers next time here on Crossing the Goal. We'll see you then.